Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today we're going to be talking about unstoppable relationships, whether with our families, partners, and spouses, friends, coworkers. Relationships are part of the human experience. We all seek the joy, pleasure, comfort, security, and unity that relationships bring into our lives, though they can just as easily cause us stress, heartache, and frustration. There is a balance that must be achieved in all our relationships. Relationships are challenging. They are even more difficult when two people from different life experiences and backgrounds come together in a romantic partnership. The goal of any intimate relationship is to get to the point where there's a balance between friendship and passion, to what my special guest Lori Davis calls the unstoppable stage. Today she is here to discuss her book, Unmasking Secrets to Unstoppable Relationships, How to Find, Keep, and Renew Love and Passion in Your Life. And Lori is going to tell us the four secrets of how to proactively enhance our relationships with or without the buy-in of our partners. Lori Ann Davis is a certified relationship specialist, speaker, author, and radio show host. Lori has a unique and passionate approach to love and relationships and believes that everyone deserves and can have the relationship of their dreams. Her mission is to provide you with the skills you need to have the unstoppable relationship you deserve. She has over 28 years' experience empowering individuals and couples to live richer, happier lives. She has an in-person private practice in Charlotte, North Carolina, and also provides relationship coaching by phone to people throughout the United States. Her practice spans the spectrum from dating and singles to working through divorce to renewing long-term marriages. In addition to workshops, classes, couples retreats, and local singles groups, Lori has a talk show called Real Talk with Lori Davis on iVibe Radio. That's iVyberadio.com. And I will be Lori's guest on her show on November 12th. So I hope that you will listen, and that would be great if you would listen and call in if you'd like. She is born and raised in New Orleans. She has a master's degree in clinical psychology from the University of West Florida in Pensacola. And for more than 20 years, she was a mental health counselor practicing individual marriage and family therapy in Florida. So now let me introduce you to Lori so we can get started. Good morning, Lori. Are you there?
Good morning. I am, yes.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being my guest today. This is going to be fun.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Yes, it will be fun.
So why don't you tell us what an unstoppable relationship is?
An unstoppable relationship is a term that I came up with on my own one day. I was thinking about relationships. I was thinking about my clients and where they wanted to be in their relationships. I was also thinking about my own experience, because this isn't something that I have just learned through studying or even just learned through experience with clients. This book really does draw from my own personal life and my own personal experiences, which I think makes it even more real, that people can relate to it even more. So I was thinking about sort of that top level of that pinnacle, you know, of relationships, where you see people that have been so happily married for 10, 15, 20 plus years, but not very many people seem to get to that level. So that's what I call an unstoppable relationship. And you gave some of the definition of it in your intro. It's that relationship where you have a solid foundation. You're good friends. You can talk. You can work through any issues that kind of come up in your relationship. You can resolve them together. But on top of that friendship and that communication that you have, you've also added back that passion that you had in the beginning of your relationship when you had all that chemistry, you know, that romantic phase of the relationship, that we naturally lose some of that as we go along. And yet some people maintain that and keep that alive. So that's my definition of an unstoppable relationship.
Okay. So keeping that alive, that's not something, because when we first meet somebody and you know, all the hormones are raging, that's kind of a natural process that happens. But
it is.
In order to keep that alive, that's not necessarily a natural process. That's something that takes work. Is that correct?
Yes, it is not a natural process. What naturally happens is those hormones start to decrease. Those feelings, that euphoria that we have, starts to decrease as we build the friendship, which we want to happen, and day-to-day life comes in. You know, relationships can get stale. They can get, and that's at the best, right? Sometimes
right.
They actually get frustrating, and we get into a cycle of really negative behavior and arguing and fighting and not resolving things. So it can go down even further. But staying at that top level, we actually don't start off at the top. We start off with all the hormones and the chemistry, but we don't have the solid foundation. That takes time to build. As we build that, we start to lose some of that euphoria. So it takes work in order to get both of those. And when you add those together, that's really where we want to be. But I think a lot of people either don't think that's possible because they're looking around at everybody else they know, and they don't have any friends or relatives or family members that have that kind of relationship. So they might not even realize that that's an option. Or they just don't believe it's possible. They think that, you know, all relationships get to a phase where it's kind of stale. And they just assume that that's what happens. And so they're not trying to do anything better because they don't have the information. So that's why I wrote the book.
Perfect. How do you define passion in a relationship? Now, this is something that, we read in magazines and stuff, and people that are married, you know, try to compare their love life, their sex life, their romantic life with others. But it's different for each of us, isn't it?
It is different for each of us, yes. It's going to look different, and it's going to feel a little bit different. But the passion means that you wake up every morning. Well, I'm realistic. Almost every morning. And you are just so happy that person laying next to you is yours and that they're in your life. And when they come home and you're reunited at the end of the day, you're happy to see them. You've got a smile on your face. For 25 years, I got butterflies in my stomach when he would walk back in the door. And I was just so pleased that he was my partner. Now, did that mean every moment of every day? Of course not. But that meant the majority of the time, that's how I felt. I just had this smile on my face when I talked about him and I thought about him. And I was so happy that he was in my life. That's passion in your relationship. That's what you want. You want to feel like I would choose this partner again today and every day. And we want our partner to feel that way about us, and we want to feel that way about them. What happens with that is that adds more physical passion to your relationship when you feel that way. Now, that's what's going to look different for different people. It's going to look different. Some people are better with words, so they're going to be telling each other how they feel about each other. Some people are going to be showing it more with physical affection because they are more physically oriented in their way of showing affection. So that's the part that's going to look different in every relationship. But that underneath feeling is going to be the same.
Okay, I got it. That makes great sense. You said that you wrote this book mainly for women, although women in relationships can hand this book to their partner if they so desire to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something that really ends up being the woman's job in the relationship or responsibility in the relationship to keep this passion alive?
No, not at all. And I am in the process of writing a second book for men. What happened was when I went to the publisher with the book, we needed to make a decision. Were we going to try to write the book for men and women? And I ultimately made the decision that I wanted to write the book as if you were sitting with me over a cup of coffee, and it was this intimate talk between two women. Now, to the single men that I work with sometimes as well, and I have had men read it and tell me that they got a lot out of it. They really liked it. So that was why we sort of put that sentence in there, that it's written in language for women, but men can get a lot out of it. But I did have to make a decision. And what I find is that a lot of times in relationships, sometimes women are the ones that are more likely to go out and buy a book and read it to try to improve their relationship. So that, or they're the ones that are more likely to go seek help sometimes for their relationship. I love my male clients, and I actually have a lot of male clients, so I don't work with just women. But I made the decision for this book, that's just the way it felt to me as I was writing it, that I wanted to be speaking primarily to women. Like I said, the man's book is coming, and it's going to be shorter with bullet points in men's language.
That brings me to the discussion you have in your book about the physiological differences in the male and female brains. Let's talk a little bit about that. We are different, aren't we?
We are different, yes, yes. And we get very frustrated with each other when we want the other person to think and act like us. And that is what I see so much happening with people. We don't, with singles and with couples, is that we just don't understand why the other sex can't be like us. Well, they're not going to be. And so I did all this research and I tried to condense it and make it very simple. But I wanted to put some of the research in there to let people know we are different for a reason. It is chemical. It probably happens in utero. Our brains are different. So quit expecting the other person to think like you and to act like you. Let's learn how they think and act, what they need, so we can utilize that information to make our relationships better as opposed to fighting against it.
Right. I really liked when you said sometimes, you know, we want to know what men think, and sometimes they don't think. That was so reinforcing for me because I sometimes say to my husband, I know something's up. What's wrong? He goes, nothing. Like, what are you thinking about?
Right.
I don't know.
Nothing.
Men really can think about nothing?
Yes, and women don't understand that because we can't do that. We have to get into a meditative state and really struggle to do that. Can just zone out and go into this little compartment in their brain where they're thinking of nothing. And I have asked almost every man I come in contact with to confirm this for me. You know, I wanted to make sure I was right. Besides what I've read and studied, and they all go, oh, yeah, we are. Sometimes we think something's wrong with them or they're not listening to us. Really, they're just in the space in their brain where they've just tuned out. And that's important for them. They need to be there. And when we understand how they communicate, how they hear us differently, then we know how to talk to them. We understand when they go into their man cave, when they go into their shell, we understand that they're there for a reason and that it may not be us at all, but if we give them a little space and a little time, they'll come out and they'll probably share with us what's going on. But if we go after them and try to drag them out or start attacking them or arguing with them or belittling them in some way, you know, about their behavior, forget it. You know, they're just going to go into that man cave and they're not ever going to want to come out. And then we end up with these relationships where, you know, women wonder why their partner isn't spending time with them and isn't talking to them. Some of it's because we are trying to get them to be us, and they're just not going to be. You know, women bond through communication. So it's important for us to have lengthy conversations. We solve problems through communication. Men are very different in that respect. And we do need to allow them to be who they are and to figure out how to work with that. And again, that doesn't mean we have to do it all. You know, in the book, I kind of talk about what women need as well some. And in the book I'm writing for men, I'm going to go even more into that and tell men that they need to meet us halfway as well. But to start, if we're the only ones who understand it, we can go get so far with them by meeting them where they are, at least to start with.
Right. I agree with you. It's a woman's tendency to want to pull something out of him because they just cannot understand that silence, and it feels so personal. There are ways for fighting fair, and you talk about not communicating out of anger, and I really like that. Can you tell us what the rules for fighting fair are?
Yes. And that is probably, depending on your personality, could be really very difficult to not communicate out of anger. I have to, you know, really bite my tongue every now and then so that I make sure that I don't do that. But when we communicate out of anger, we put the other person on defensive. And if you're a female and you're communicating out of anger, he pulls into his shell and he's not going to hear what you have to say. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to take some time and calm down. Go for a walk, you know, whatever it is, spend some time in nature, do something for yourself, take a hot bath, whatever you need to do to settle down a little. And then I want you to think about what you're angry about, because the first thing you need to do is think about, is it really your partner's problem? Is it really a problem in the relationship? Or is there something with you that you need to kind of deal with on your own? And I think a lot of people don't like to hear that. They're like, well, of course it must be my partner. But, you know, honestly, when I do that, I can tell you a lot of times I discover it's my issue. And a lot of times I discover I don't need to even address it with him. It's something with me. I'm unhappy with something. There's something I have this expectation that maybe it's not even realistic, but did I share it with him? And he didn't meet that expectation, right? Sometimes I can fix it myself. So that's the first place to start. If you decide, no, this really is something we need to address, you do it when you're calm, and you make sure it's a good time to talk. You let him know, you know, not when he's watching football, not when he's hungry, not when he's exhausted. So you pick a time that's good for both of you. And then you stick to the issue. Never bring up something from the past. Never, ever, ever. It's so tempting to say, well, you did this, 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 and this, right? But that just shuts the other person down. So we want to take responsibility for how we feel. We want to say, I am feeling, so that you're not putting them on the defensive. Stick to the issue, and then try to come up with some sort of solution. One trick I give people is, if you're talking to a guy, guys like to problem solve. So ask him if he has any suggestions on how to fix the problem, because then he might. And then it's his idea, right? So he's more invested in it, and he's problem solving, and you go, okay. The other thing to remember is that sometimes you're going to come to the agreement that you're going to have to agree to disagree. You know, you won't fix everything. You won't solve every problem. You won't compromise on everything. some things it's a necessity, right? The bills need to get paid. The children need to be fed, you know, so you're going to need to compromise on those things. Sometimes, though, it's a belief. It's a thought about something. We have to remember that we're individuals. Sometimes it's okay to look at each other and say, okay, I hear you. I understand your point of view. And, yeah, we just have our own different points of view, and so let's just agree to disagree on this. And then my final point that I think is so important, as I'm trying to condense all of this for you very quickly, end it on a positive note. So go have dinner together afterwards. Have a cup of coffee. At least give each other a big hug so that the end of the conversation feels good. So that the next time you have to have a conversation, your partner doesn't go, oh, God, we have to talk. This is going to be terrible. I'm going to feel horrible. It's not going to be pleasant, right? And they run from you.
Oh, yeah.
Positive. You know, so that both of you go, you know, when something comes up, we can actually do this, and it doesn't feel terrible. So that will go a long way in helping you to be able to resolve issues in the future.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. You know, sometimes something's on my mind, and it just happened, and I'm annoyed, and I want to bring it up. And the first thing my husband does is shut down and get defensive, and I agree. That's exactly what happens. If I were to phrase it differently, if I were to take my time and make it another time, you know, not so soon after the incident or whatever, I'm sure it would go over much better. So I'm definitely going to employ that tactic. I really believe that will work for me. So I agree with you.
It takes self-control. It's not always so easy. I'm sorry.
No, it's not, especially when they push your buttons and they know how to do it. Another thing you talk about in your book is about random acts of kindness. And we know about doing this for other people, but within our relationship, there are things that we could be doing just to kind of pep things up, like saying thank you, having fun and being playful. Can you just talk a little bit about that, random acts of kindness?
Yes, you know, we forget when we are with someone for a period of time how, I think, to really give your partner your best. Sometimes our partner gets the worst of us because we say, well, they should love me for who I am. And yes, that's true. We do want them to love us for who we are. But again, they deserve the best we have to give them. And sometimes we give them our worst instead of our best. If we really take a look at that, there are little bitty things that we can do. Again, like you said, do we remember to say thank you and please? When we ask them to do something, do we say please? And when they do something for us, even something as simple as taking out the trash, yes, I know he should take out the trash, but do you thank him for doing it when he has done it? Do you thank him for going to work every day, even if you go to work too? Some of these little things, adding these niceties back to our relationship, can turn around the entire feel of your relationship, can cause him to start doing some of those things in return. But we forget. When you see him, after you haven't seen him for a while, do you greet him with, I see this so often, do you greet him with this long list of everything that went wrong in your day, everything the children did wrong, and now they are yours, and God, I see this all the time. You need to go do this because I've had them all day, you know, for moms who stay home maybe, or I'm exhausted, and that's how we greet our partner. And we don't realize what we're doing. If we saw it on video and it wasn't us, we would say, oh, my gosh, really look at how we're treating each other. But we don't realize when we're in the moment of doing it. So when you reconnect with your partner, how about giving them this huge smile that says, I'm so happy to see you, and a big hug, no matter what's going on in your day. You're going to feel better, number one. They're going to be so happy to see you. And then you can, you know, after that, you can kind of give them a Reader's Digest version of, you know, what little Johnny did at school today that you got the phone call about, or, you know, what happened at work that was so terrible. But we forget to do some of those things. We forget to when we were dating, you know, you would send each other, depending on how old you are and when you were dating, but you would send each other little notes. Now we have texting. We can get out our phone and in the middle of the day text our partner something that says, I miss you, you know, can't wait to see you. I've been thinking about you. Or if there's some TV show that you like or a joke that you like, you know, connecting in some personal way with them. Just to connect, just to be nice, just to be flirty, maybe. I've had clients tell me that when they started flirting with their partner, what a huge difference it made in their relationships, just from sending a flirty text in the middle of the day. They had great relationships, but they said, we can't believe what that little small thing did to our relationship and how my partner came home and how much happier he was to see me because I flirted with him during the day. So my book is full of just little small things. I made the book. My goal was to make it simple, easy, nothing complicated, but little things that either we don't think about doing, we have forgotten to do, or we just didn't grow up in a family that they did these things, and we never even imagined that we could do these things. That, and you could pick up the book, you know, day in, you know, day after day, month after month, flip through it, and find something new you could do that would really help make your relationship happier, but also make you happier in your relationship. And that's my hope.
Well, that's a great hope. It's funny, you know, if it hasn't, you know, my husband and I have been married for 27 years, and we're very close and we do everything together. But if I would greet him at the door with a big hug, he'd look at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, he'd wonder what happened. And that's the reaction you get at first, what's wrong?
Right, exactly. I mean, and if I do something flirty or something like that, he's like, what's wrong?
Yeah. But, you know, that's how I kept my long-term marriage alive and full of passion and love. And I, you know, I don't just write about all the things that I am writing about in my book. I have done, I have experienced, I have tried, you know, I tell people and I get their response. So a lot went into this book to make sure that it was something that people could do day in, day out. And you'll come up with, you know, it's a start. It's a starter for you to think about all of your own things. I ended each section with little exercises, just a simple, little simple exercise to kind of get you started. But it's going to get you started on coming up with your own things to do that will take even an amazing relationship and make it even better. If you're 65 years old and you have an amazing relationship, I promise you, you're still going to read this book and go, oh, I didn't try that. Let me see. Mm-hmm. That might add more life to my marriage, right?
I agree. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of little things that we can do, and it really does get you thinking. And another thing that you say is really important is date night. Why is that so important?
Date night's important because dating is actually even more important in a long-term relationship than it was when you were dating. It makes time together a priority. And that is actually one of my secrets, is that you need to be a team. You need to have that framework of it's the two of us against the world. You're not really. I'm being a little dramatic. But the two of us. And so we need time together, just the two of us. And you can do all kinds of different things on your date night. You know, you can go places together. If you can't afford to go places together, you have young children and you don't have anybody to watch them. You know, I understand all of those things. You can put the children to bed and you can have a picnic, you know, on the living room floor. You can have a picnic in your bedroom for date night. You can rent a movie to watch after the children go to bed. There are all kinds of things you can do. But the idea is that you're setting aside time where you don't talk about problems, you don't talk about anything negative, you're fun, you're playful, you're intimate, you're spending time just the two of you, just being a couple, because we lose sight of that if we don't make it a priority. We become parents, we become workers, we become friends, we become all these other things in our life, and we sort of coexist, and we forget to make our partner and our relationship a priority. So date night encourages you to do that.
Right. And what happens, I have adult children, what happens is when the children leave the nest, if you haven't worked on that relationship, it's very, very strange to be alone with this person after all these years. After playing the parenting role, you don't know how to relate to this person.
Right. I get clients that way a lot. They call me and say, oh, my gosh, the children are gone. I don't know my partner. We don't really have much of a relationship. So that's why the renew love and passion, that's the renew part in the book title. So then we really work on a vision for their future and their relationship, and work on how to build kind of almost a new relationship now. So if you've been doing this all along, that's an easier process. And you actually have some friends in Florida, lifelong friends, and they were really excited about, they were going to miss their children. They were excited because they had been doing these things. They were excited about all of a sudden, we have this whole new phase of our relationship, and they couldn't wait, you know, to think about all the things they were going to do together. But that is not the case probably for most people. We do get caught up in the day-to-day busyness of life. We need to slow down. It's good for our health. It's good for our mental health. It's good for our relationship. There's just nothing about it that's bad for us, and it's all good for us. It also encourages intimacy between us, which is another thing that long-term relationships, so many times when I ask couples about their sex life, their intimate time together, they tell me, well, you know, we kind of, you know, holidays, special occasions, but they lose that in their life. So it's not a part of their day-to-day life anymore. And that is also not good for your relationship. So in the book, I give you lots of ideas about how to add more of that back into your relationship. And I talk about why it's good for every aspect of your relationship, not just, you know, feeling good about your sex life. It actually influences every area of your relationship. And if you're having some struggle in communication or a different area of your relationship, believe it or not, adding more intimacy to your relationship will help you to work on those other areas.
Right. You say in the book, sometimes women tell me that they do not initiate sex as often because they're not in the mood. This is another difference between men and women. Men can change gears and be in the mood much easier than women. So I guess if we do it, really our men are going to respond, right?
You know, I mean, somebody's going to write to me and say, I have tried and my husband does not. And, you know, there's something deeper going on then, and we could probably still fix that, talk about it. For the most part, yes. If we are there and we're letting them know that this is a great idea, most men are definitely all about that. They're on board. They're happy. Now, if you had a long period of time in your relationship where the man has initiated and he's been turned down, it might take a while for him to kind of get back in gear with that as well, but he will. He definitely will. It's what he wants. It's one of the top things he wants out of the relationship. And I know some women say, but that's superficial. But it's not. It's one of the ways men and women are different. Men really do bond with us. They show their love for us. They're connected to us through physical intimacy. It's very, very important to them. It's sort of genetically programmed in. And for women, it starts at least more on an emotional level. And so we have to go about it in a little different way. But it's important to us too. We have forgotten that it's important, or we have these beliefs on top of it that, well, it's one more thing I have to do. I'm doing it for him, right? If that's your belief, or really, I'm too tired, I don't want to, it's one more thing I have to do. If that's how you're talking to yourself, then yes, it's not going to work for you. But if you realize that it is equally as important for you and equally as good for us as women to have active sex lives, and once you start making the changes towards going there, you'll see that, you'll understand that. So it's important for our stress levels. It's important for our bonding with our partner, for us to feel bonded to them. We're happier. We are, enough time to really get into this, but in the book I talk about masculine and feminine energy. women being exhausted by multitasking and spending so much time in masculine energy. When we are with our partners and we are intimate, we are in feminine energy mode. It's relaxing for us. It's rejuvenating. We get to just be, and it's very, very good for us on so many levels. But again, in our society, we've really gotten away from that, and women have lost touch with that. So I give lots of ways, lots of examples of how to get back in touch with that side of yourself and why it's so important for women to do that, not just for the men.
Right. Oh, I definitely agree. I definitely agree with you. We're 35 minutes into the hour, Lori, and we've covered a lot of things, but is there anything that we haven't touched on that I haven't brought up that you think is really important to mention?
I think I just want to mention that so many times in relationships, we might want our relationship to be better, but we have a mindset of when this happens, when the children are gone, when I get a better job, when my partner changes, right? When he or she does X, Y, or Z, things will be better. And what I want to tell you is put all of those ideas aside and start today, because you are the only one who really has the power in your relationship. And you do have the power. You can create the relationship you want. Now, you have to have a partner that's the right partner and that's willing. So, you know, you may discover that you don't, and you'll need to deal with that. And I can help you if you need help with that. But you have the power to make your relationship better. So I just want to encourage everybody, pick up the book. Not just because I want to sell the book. You know, I want to sell the book. But I want you to really take power in your life and in your relationship and try some small things and see what an impact it has on you. You're going to be happier. Don't wait for something else. Take control. Take the power. Make some small changes. And make yourself and your relationship a happier place. Make it that safe haven that you want it to be and that you deserve.
That's so important. I'm really glad you brought that up. That's really important. Your book is Unmasking Secrets to Unstoppable Relationships, and the tagline is How to Find, Keep, and Renew Life and Renew Love and Passion in Your Life. For my listeners, how do they go about getting this book?
They can put Unstoppable Relationships in Amazon book search. It'll come up. You can go to my website. You can, you know, find it there, and that gives you links to ordering it. You can also find on my website, if you're interested in me helping you find, keep, or renew love and passion, you know, you can read a little bit about me there. You can find out how to get in touch with me. I will do a free strategy session to kind of talk about how I might be able to help you. I write blogs, so you can look at all the free information that I have. I have all kinds of information on my website for you. Listen to my radio shows. So everything that you would want to know about me, you can find on my website, which is loriannandavis.com. It's spelled LORIANNDavis.com. So you can go to my website and find everything and get in touch with me there as well. Like me on Facebook, send me questions. I'd love to hear from you.
That's great. I definitely recommend that. This book is it's very small. It's a very, very easy, quick read. At the end of every chapter, there's exercises that you can do, simple things. And it's really, really user-friendly. So it's not one of these great big books that, you know, is going to take you deep into the heart of the male-female relationship. It's really written for everyone to relate to and understand. Lori, you did a great job with this book.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I know that your intention was to make it very user-friendly so that everyone can pick it up and find help for their relationship.
Yeah, I wanted it to be like we were sitting down having coffee and I was just chatting with you and you could hear my voice talking to you, just giving you little pearls of wisdom, little pearls of information that you could use. And yes, I wanted everybody to be able, I get lost sometimes even in some of the things that I read. And so I wanted this to just be very simple and very easy for people so that they would actually pick up the book and do it. It doesn't do any good if you read it and you don't feel like you can implement it. So that was my goal.
Right. Yeah, the first quote you have in your book, it says, "You have the power to change your relationship. With just a few secrets, you can create a relationship you deserve, the one you have always dreamed of." I guess that's something we all really hope for, is that our relationship is the one that we dream of. And I guess all relationships can get stale if we don't work on them. So this is really, really important information for us to keep us happy in our relationships. I mean, longevity in a relationship can happen without necessarily happiness and passion. It can just go on and on and on.
Yes.
But no one wants
and
that.
No, they don't. And for singles, it's a great way for them to understand what a good relationship looks like. So when they meet somebody and they have potential, it actually helps them to keep that person in their life, to draw them so that they can build a relationship with them. You understand what a great relationship looks like. You start doing those things in the very beginning when you're single so that, you know, maybe instead of losing the right guy, you keep him. So that was the other intent of the book.
That is the best education you can give people out there, because we tend to model our relationships on what we've seen our parents do. And if our parents mm-hmm. didn't have relationships that were worth, continuing, then that's going to be a real problem for us. I know that it was for me. I know that initially I had a really skewed concept of what a love relationship was because my parents had a weird one. You're right. I had to really learn what love is.
Most people do. We don't have a way for everybody to learn how to be in a relationship. And so there are a lot of us out there trying to help, trying to teach. And I think that we are needed in this society because society's changed. Our roles as men and women have changed since the 60s, the 70s, which is a lot of benefits to that. But relationships have changed, and we aren't really taught how to be in a great relationship and be in this modern age that we're in. So we
it's
need
true.
To, we need
it,
some guidance.
It is right. We do need guidance. It is hard to navigate it. Well, I have to say goodbye, Lori. Our time is running out. But I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this wisdom with us. This is wisdom we can all apply, which is I love doing shows like this where really everyone that listens can relate in some way. So thank you so much for sharing this information with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's great. I look forward to seeing you, or actually talking to you on November 12th on your show, and that should be fun,
yes.
too. So,
yes, it will.
So we'll be in touch.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Have a wonderful
Bye-bye.
Day. Thanks.
You too.
Thank you. So our time is up for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is R-A-N-D-I. RandyGFine.com, F-I-N-E, RandyGFine.com. My website is also RandyGFine.com, and stop by and read my articles. And it's basically my hub. Everything that I do is there. You can find links to everything. I do YouTube videos, and I write lots and lots and lots of articles. I share articles from other people that I feel my readers would enjoy. So visit me, and you can leave me comments there as well. The second Friday of every month, I will be doing shows about narcissistic personality disorder abuse, and you can call in and talk to me. So I would love for you to do that. The number you will call is 424-220-1801. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate. We can't wait to be